Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, lovely listeners. Mitchell Gadd here, and welcome to episode 230 of a Touchline Rant podcast. I am joined by two awesome co-hosts this week, Mr. Luke Smalley. Say hello to our listeners, mate.
Hello. This feels rather odd, but yet familiar at the same time.
Back. I'm back with a bang. Yeah. Cassie Robson, say hello.
Hello, we're back in the dark ages, back on Zoom.
This is unreal. This is unreal. We have to apologise to anyone who's tuned in lately. DJ Willie was double booked for a kid's party that he's not DJing, he's in charge of a bouncy castle. And they're paying him in not only money, but also pick a mix. And I just wouldn't match the money. Pick a mix, fine.
we've always got a good stack of pick a mix in the studio too.
Yeah, we always bring snacks. We told him snacks, no problem. He said, but they're paying him as well. I was like, well,
sorry.
We can't compete.
No, exactly. Go blow your fucking castle up, son.
I know. I'm sure he'll be back soon. But no DJ Willie this week. World Cup. Hey, World Cup is underway.
World Cup.
I think I know, a small matter of the World Cup. That's our big news this week. The World Cup started.
Ridiculous that the World Cup is on and I'm freezing cold and it's November.
We're all sat here in jumpers in our own houses. Yeah.
Well, I was so weirded out by the prospect of a Winter World Cup that I fucking moved to Australia. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm here. Right. I'm acclimatized for the World Cup. I moved here 3.5 years ago. Get in the zone, get in the temperature, you know, climatise before it starts.
I remember when you said to me, you're like, fuck that, I'm not staying in a world, I'm not having a cold World Cup.
I know.
Mind made up.
Exactly, yeah, it's a lot of effort, I'll tell you now, I've really gone for it, but, you know, it's slightly less weird. Apart from the fucking bizarre kickoff times where you go to bed and the game's there's games every hour of the day, which is, I think, the same for everyone, but I think because of the temperatures, the early kickoffs and the late kickoffs, flipping mental, isn't it?
Having a game on at UK time, 10 o'clock in the morning, is just bizarre. You know, it's they're kicking off at 10 a.m. our time.
Yeah,
but there's also one kicking off at the 7 o'clock kickoffs. By the way, I can get behind those. I'm enjoying
them.
Normal Premier League football, but 7 o'clock kickoff, not an 8 o'clock. Yes, please.
You're a big fan.
Done by nine. Yes.
I'm a big fan of the middle of the workday fixtures, if I'm totally honest. That's what
just go for a quick break. quick break, you know. Nip to the bathroom. I'll just be about an hour and a half, you know.
Not with all the added time, you're joking. Good 2 hours, man.
I know. That's a half day. It is a half day, basically.
It is a half day. Let's talk action on the field. Wales and England both had their first game of the tournament so far. Oh, that anthem for Wales.
Oh.
What a moment, eh? I never thought I'd see the day that, you know, Wales would be in a World Cup. It took a while to get going. What was the feelings, Luke?
Well, I was an absolute mess, Ness. Those were my feelings. They could have beaten us 10-0. I wouldn't care. I genuinely wouldn't. It wouldn't have mattered. I was already excited, and then they came out and the anthem played. It's just the idea of it's forever being from Wales. You get used to the phrase. Is that in England? Do you know what I mean? This should put to bed that a lot now.
Yeah, us being in England's group is helpful, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And especially with America.
Do you think USA showed up yesterday and were like, this is a different country? Yeah, wait, what is happening here?
Do you think that they thought, well, that's part of England. So are we playing them twice?
Yeah, B team, like an A team.
Why are they allowed to... you know, I bet you there's some of those same fans who think if it was they were playing Trinidad and Tobago, they're like, that's not fair. It's 22-11. Hopefully, I'll put them to bed. But I think from an on the pitch standpoint, if we're going as the first half showed, if you go into play as if Kiefer Moore is on the pitch, you need to make sure Kiefer Moore is on the pitch because it won't work otherwise.
No.
That's rule one.
It was strange, wasn't it? Because I think, we were playing as if he was there. It wasn't like we were sort of knocking it into feet and trying to, you know, or even in the channels, we were just hoofing it long. And obviously he changed the game when he came on. It was a bit frustrating for me because it was one of those where, second half we turned it around and Moore made a massive difference. But I think 99.9% of Wales fans would have said Moore would have been in their starting 11. He's in form. We're picking away in the Championship. He's now scoring goals in the Premiership against top teams. And he didn't play. So it's almost a bit like what might have been if he'd have started. But what do you make of the game, Cassie?
I think, as an England fan, I agree. I think the omission of Kiefer Moore was very, very strange. As soon as that starting lineup kind of flashed up on the screen, it was right. Okay, why is he not on that squad? And you saw that the second he came on. I'm glad it panned out as it did because you got the Bills, you got the Ramseys, you got the big names in that squad that get all this kind of they got all the hype. And it just goes to show what an incredible part of that squad Moore is. And he deserves all of it.
He to play for Truro City, man.
Ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Play the World
he was
Cup.
A lifeguard. He was a lifeguard, right? He does, wasn't he? He's a,
fantastic.
But he allows those other players to play because he brings the team further up the pitch, wins the balls, wins the knockdowns, holds it up. So it brings Ramsey into play in that hole, in that pocket. And then Bale... has always been much more effective for Wales, either cutting in from the left or the right, not in that central position of the three. So then he then makes those players more effective for Wales as well as, you know, contributing. And he's so much more as well than that, because you saw some of the hold-up play, the passing and the link-up play was superb. So hopefully he's starting every game now and we can start the game against Iran like we finished against the States. I think we made the States look better than they are.
I didn't
realise, though. I mean, up until formerly of this parish, Mr. Jordan Lloyd, I was out with Mr. Jordan Lloyd this week.
R.I.P.
Oh.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
He's not dead. Jordan Lloyd is not dead.
Someone who was talking to us at the time said, "Oh, are USA any good?" And I went, "Nah." And he looked at me and he went, "Have you seen their squad?" And then I went through it in my head, and you think Pulisic, Rayner, McKenney, Adams, Sargent, you know, Weah, these, okay, they're not on the world stage level, but they're very good players. I was like, actually, yeah. And I was like, oh, shit.
You forgot Clint Dempsey. Doesn't Clint Dempsey still play for them? Hasn't he played for the USA since, like, 1842?
No, yeah. Surely no, he's still not playing.
No, he's not.
He's in the American War Revolution, wouldn't he?
No, he's not still playing. No, he was around for so long. Yeah.
Let Lallis at the back as well.
Yeah.
Klinsmann on the touchline. Or side note, actually, I thought of this last night. I've got nothing to back this up with, but I remember when they employed Klinsmann, he made a point of saying that it was his job to build American soccer as a brand, as it were, to improve it is this now this crop of talent that we're seeing from a is this something that Klinsmann introduced?
Oh, what are we saying? It's like a post-Klinsmann kind of...
Yeah. Like, Virginia of Dest, I remembered another American player.
Omar O'Heed, you sons of Klinsmann.
But yeah, but in the same way, to a very, very, very less successful level, but know how Germany restructured their entire international setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
it did, yeah.
A few down the line, it paid dividends and they won the World Cup.
Yeah.
It's different. It's not on the same level. However, this is a much better USA side. Than...
It would be that time frame, wouldn't it?
I was just going to say, yeah, when you look at the timeline, I thought it last night. It's got legs.
No fact to back that up. However, I have a feeling that some of these youth players, these USA players, will have been within the youth setups when Klinsmann first got there. And made his...
It's amazing, like, he probably told them, look, hey guys, you know, we play two halves of 45.
Yeah.
We're not playing, like, you know, there's no 2 minute warning. There's only one football on the pitch, you know. No timeouts allowed. And they're like, fucking hell, is that why we're doing it all wrong?
We'll get these
rules into the kids, you know, come on.
No packages. Get it off.
No fucking large hot dogs in the middle of the game. Stop that.
If I could even see a foam finger,
I was about to say foam. I was about to say, keeper, take those foam fingers off. That was my next one. It's amazing what you can do. Klinsmann comes in, he goes, what's this shit going on here?
What the fuck's a corn dog?
It's a corner, not a corn dog.
Oh, God.
But yeah.
Oh, my God.
I openly as well, swiftly moving sideways. I mean, yeah, so Wales, beautiful. Now, I think we can all be in agreement that we need England to beat USA.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. we can all agree on that.
Quite convincingly.
Quite well.
Yeah. as well as can be. Like, if they can put six past them but not concede two, like they did against Iran.
And what a stupid two to concede as well.
It makes it, no offence to any, I was going to say anyone in Iran listening to this, but that is not possible, is it? Let's be brutally honest.
I don't think so, yeah. We lost the Iranian listener because they were a Newcastle fan.
Yeah, yeah, we lost them,
they
sorry.
They were a Newcastle fan as well, so... Back to zero now, but the penalty for that Iranian penalty was a bit soft, wasn't it?
And, oh, what a joke!
It was a lovely finish for the first goal, but anyway, yeah. Let's move on to England then. 6-2. They looked pretty.
They looked pretty fluid,
didn't they?
Sorry.
My
worry with England is that they're really good up front, and I think they've got one of the best attacks in the tournament, especially also from the bench. Because England added Rashford, Foden into that. That's insane.
Mm.
Like, but at the back,
it's weird.
They did look shaky. Yeah. Going into the tournament, they were like in the Nations League and their competitive football running up to the World Cup. They looked really blunt in attack. So actually, I know it was only a ram, but it was good to see them actually play a bit more attackingly from an England point of view.
Mm.
Yeah, Cassie, what do you reckon? Do you think that you can read a lot into Iran? Do you think that's fair? Because a lot, obviously, we've seen a few upsets that we'll talk about in a bit. We've seen one big one. But do you think England deserve a lot of credit, or do you think Iran were just really poor?
I didn't go into yesterday's game with a lot of confidence. Obviously, coming off the back of the Nations League, a very disjointed team, looked like none of them had ever played together. And let's be honest, you know, it's kind of the Euro squad 2.0.
Mm.
And then the first 20 minutes were a bit dodgy, but the team then that we're seeing, they look like they're playing together every week, and there's smart balls going forward and there's creativity on the attack, and all right, the defence has got its holes.
Issues.
Maguire looks better than he has all season for club.
That's one of the best Maguire performances when he was bringing the ball out from the back.
Unbelievable. Different player.
Literally, a centre-back getting the ball at his feet and having the confidence to push up does the world of good.
Did you see there was someone who tweeted that if he keeps on breaking the lines with those passes, then we're going to have to start calling Maguire Slabby Alonso?
No. I can get behind
That's the pod title for the week. Flabby Alonso.
I can get behind Flabby Alonso.
But he's transformed in an English, isn't he? Anyway,
But a lot from I mean, I take a lot from some of the players that missed penalties back in the Euros, getting goals, fantastic. Jude Bellingham, an absolute rip-roaring performance. Bukayo Saka, same, unbelievable quality.
The fact that all three of them scored.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
You've got Bellingham scored, Rashford scored, Saka scored.
The it's fact beautiful. That
it's this section of the England players that scored, who have become under insane amounts of criticism online purely because they're not white. And this is England. It's disappointing, and yet not to get necessarily political as such, but it was disappointing to see the Daily Mail lead with a picture of Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
No offense to Jack Grealish.
FIFA did the same as well. And
it's weird. I wonder why.
It's a bit smelly.
It is. I mean, shout out Jack Grealish though for doing the celebration.
Yeah.
Little Finley, that was superb.
It was a very romantic game of football. There was just a lot, you know, like we said, those three players playing really well, the youngsters being the best players on the pitch, the Grealish celebration. There was a lot to enjoy.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Have I maybe got a bit excited
too soon? Yes.
No, I don't. Well, you know, I mean, like, it's one of those where, you know, going into the game, like, Iran are they 20th in the world or they're in the top 20? I know the rankings are a bit, you know, but they have, you know, strung together some, you know, results to get in that position. They've got obviously that striker who got a couple of goals, and they have got some quality in the side. And you
he's
know,
a good player
going into the game.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
And I am slightly
Porto,
worried.
Or have I made this up?
Pardon?
Does he play for Porto? Or have
Remy?
I made? Yeah.
Let's have a look.
I'm going to
do a quick fact check on that.
I'm sure one of the Iran players plays for Porto. I don't know why. The problem that I have with Iran.
Yeah, he does.
Thought it was.
Good knowledge.
Good. I know. Plucked that out of nothing.
I am slightly worried about the damage he can do when we play them. But you know, it's easy to talk them up. They could cause a shock, and then or they could be difficult to break down. And then when you win 6-2, you know, you can't then turn around and go, oh yeah, it's only Iran. So I think it's fair enough. You know,
I mean,
the two goals are a little bit disappointing, but it was a strange game. I think it was like 11 shots on target and 8 goals or something. It was just it was quite a bizarre game second half. It kind of just turned into this like weird. Kind of, this is another goal, you know. We'll just go up and score another one.
It was a little bit like playing down the park by the end of it. It's like, they've had enough now.
Do you know when you, like, you play a game of football outside and, like, you should all be going in for your tea or whatever, and you're just like, oh, no, we'll just play on a bit more. Everyone's a little bit more tired, and you don't really give a shit, and everyone's just lumping the ball up and just trying to get a goal before they go in.
Your member's got turkey dinosaurs waiting for you, and you're just like, I'm done with this now. Just play the clock down.
The bikes are getting cold.
Shout out as well to the Iran players refusing to sing the anthem.
Shout out.
Well done.
Don't need DJ Willie, do you?
What a massive, massive show of solidarity. I thought that was really, really lovely.
Yeah, superb. It was super.
Very good.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. It's it's the World Cup to do stuff like that in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, right. It's not yet. It's a week away yet. But what are your early thoughts on Wales, England? Is it that we have to watch the second games first to see where the group?
I would say yes. I think these second games are going to be the rider for that final score.
Because imagine the other variables in this, which is that Wales beat Iran and England draw or lose.
Which I think a draw against the US for England could be a possibility.
We've mentioned South Africa. You've been here before. A draw against the USA in a group game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll happen personally. And like I said, I'm fully behind an England win. Bring it home again. But there is that little part of me that thinks it would be quite fun going into Wales versus England if somehow we could have it that you winner goes through.
I don't think my nerves could handle it.
No, I know.
Imagine.
I would have to move city.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot, isn't it? I just think it would be amazing. I think we need to have an agreement that if that is possible, I'm definitely coming to the Queen's Vault. I mean, I might do anyway. But
me in the middle, just my England shirt on.
Just that would be fun. I'll turn up in a Welsh shirt and just sing Yum O' Heath, and it'll be fun.
But like a scene from The Wicker Man, Cassie will be.
I'm just in the centre. Tears on the pool table in the Queen's Vault.
Just asking everyone in England shirt. You also support Newcastle by any chance?
A sacrifice to Gary Speed. Yeah. A nice little fact while we're talking about England and Wales, just to finish up. Mm-hmm. England around 7.4 million views. Wales, USA 9.4 million. I mean, that's
practically a win, isn't it?
And that, yeah.
Give us the points.
That's without the S4C views. So. Yeah.
S4C, for anyone who isn't familiar, S4C is a Welsh TV. It usually gets about 3.4 billion people watch S4C. So it's going to be quite high, those numbers.
I don't know. I think, England, Wales, a lot will be impacted by how the teams go into it with those second results. But, can't wait for it. Roll on.
Gareth Bale wandering out with the armband on, with Harry Kane next to him, knowing that whoever wins goes through and whoever loses goes home, more than likely, because if USA beat Iran, that would be the best. And then the Welsh national anthem plays.
I'm looking forward to it, mate. So we saw a big, big shock on the field. Today for you, yesterday for me. Argentina, Saudi Arabia. I mean, when that first goal went in, was it 10 minutes when Messi scored and there was about 50 disallowed goals from VAR, I thought, Jesus, this could be an absolute drubbing here. But holy shit. I was texting my mate and I was saying, Argies look so slack. They were just, I'll give a bit of credit to Saudi Arabia here because I respect the fact that when they broke in numbers. The commitment to men in attack when they went forward was immense. I was like, they're piling more. They could get fucking caught out here if they lose it back. But fuck me, they committed men forward in attack. And I think Argentina took a while to respond. And before you know it was like the old 1-2, the sucker punch. And that second goal, bloody hell. Amazing. Amazing. I love a shock in the World Cup.
Not too dislike Saudi being forward in attack. But it's impressive. I mean, questionable human rights, but we all like an underdog, you know. It was I literally had, so for legal reasons, if anyone from my work is listening, you can't fire me for this because I was working at the same time, but I had the football on silent on my other screen. And I did a double. I thought I had a stroke when I saw Saudi were winning. Like, I literally thought I'd had a stroke. I had to pinch myself and check I was still breathing.
One thing that was quite nice about my viewing of this is I watched it with... I won't give context to this. You two will both know what this means, but no one else will realise the context of this. I watched it with 14 Saudi Arabian students.
And that's just his regular Tuesday night.
That's just it, yeah. That's just how it rolls.
What are you watching next week? Friends reruns again.
We're gonna re-watch some Rick and Morty.
Good, yeah.
Luke's Saudi Susan, I call it.
What snacks
do you get? Snacks this week.
I don't know why this tickled me. It's so easy.
We had some waffles.
Oh.
Waffles. Say the sweet waffles.
Sweet.
Is that what's in the Saudi song?
No.
Sweet waffles.
So that was enjoyable because when they then played traditional Saudi music and danced for the next 45 minutes, which is quite nice.
That sounds like a fucking great time.
Oh, yeah, it was. I had a great time.
I did
have a really enjoyable time. It was a good 3 hours of my life. I was like, this is great.
I'm coming next week.
Yeah, honestly, it's the place to watch the World Cup. I'm telling you,
the place to be.
There's someone comes down. They're from there. I watched the Poland game with three people from Krakow. None happened.
Look, you multinational bugger.
I know.
Yeah, fair play.
And a Lithuanian, but I think she was just confused.
Didn't know where she was.
I mean, she just didn't want to be left out. It's very Argentina-like, though, isn't it?
It's so Argentina, isn't it?
It's like, yeah, Argentini. Yeah.
It is.
Are they favourites going into this tournament as well?
They are. This is ridiculous. Everyone goes, it'll be Brazil or Argentina. And someone goes, have you not learned anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. If you've not watched any other World Cup.
Yeah, they're the Arsenal of the World Cup.
to be fair to Saudi, as much as Argentina did in Argentina, they did put in a good performance. The goalkeeper, I'm probably saying his name wrong, Al Hawaii.
Oh.
5 insane saves. Like,
yeah, he did really well.
He was great. And the way he was coming out like a sweeper, like he was reading the game so well. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
You always know if a goalkeeper's getting player of the match, they've had an absolute blinder because that's not easily done.
No.
Also, mad stat. 9 of that starting 11 play for Al Hilal, which is the biggest team in Saudi. So 9 of them play together. I mean,
like when we talk about Wales feeling like a club side, that's actually a club side, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Imagine being the other two, though, showing up and
But surely, if they've beaten Argentina, does that mean Al Hilal like beat PSG?
Yeah.
Basically.
Just imagine in the Champions League, them rocking up. Like, what are you here for?
It's like your Lithuanian turning up in your common room.
We need to invite Al Hilal to the Champions League, and just in the same way that Australia are invited to the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah.
Token invite, just so we can see them beat PSG.
Only club side in the world who'd be like, oh, we've also won the... Like, sorry, West Ham. I know you fucking bang on about it, you dicks. You know? Oh, we won the World Cup. Al Hilal beat Argentina today. That's insane.
Messi would be signing for them next season now. Just watch.
Yeah. Declaring his independence from Argentina. Rocking up in friendlies for Saudi Arabia.
How do we all feel about the new VAR robot? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
It's worrying because this is the first one. That's what concerns me the most. Like, this is
there's going to be teething errors.
Yeah, it's the prototype.
It's what it looks like terrifies me. It's like it's going to come and get me in the night.
But what's it going to look like in 10 years?
Yeah. Is it like the T-100? This is the T-100. And then there's the T-1000 is going to be like fucking, you know, what his name, whatever, Patrick, whatever his name was from Terminator 2.
Yes.
Liquid form, just coming on the pitch and just transforming.
The problem is...
After Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What concerns me is this VAR robot actually the T1? Is this the very first?
This is it, I was saying. Wow. So this is the first one.
We could be like 30 years down the line and everything is controlled by one robot. Everything, even security. But... so they ref the game, they're doing VAR, everything is down
to... Oh, I told you, I've said this to my mate. Within 15 years, a robot will win Wimbledon. I'm convinced. Will win Wimbledon.
Mate, you should tweet Paddy Power, I'm telling you. Other betting companies.
I put a bet on.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
You guarantee it.
a robot will win Wimbledon right, within Mitch, 15
Mitch,
years.
Tell me the truth here. As a, I love you eternally. Are you building a robot in your garage that you can play tennis? Is this why you're so adamant? I guarantee you. Look, I don't care what Richard says, it works.
I've done the paperwork already. It'll take a little bit, but, you know, clinical trials happening now.
Wait, wait, wait. Why Wimbledon? Why not like the Formula One? Okay.
You are a robot driving a car.
Because people want to
ideas.
See.
The 400 breath backstroke.
Because I think there's other variables in your Formula One. I think, you know, at its heart, singles tennis is, you know, it's mano y mano, womanio v womanio, robot.
Womanio.
You want to say?
So what we're saying is, man over man.
People will want to see how a robot versus man the machine. People are always fascinated by it. Robot will be in there, and I reckon he'll destroy Djokovic in the final.
I want to see Federer come out of retirement in 15 years and play a singles match against this robot, against Mitch's robot. That's
Mitch
what I want to
on
see.
The sidelines, like one of the fucking kids from Robot Wars with a control in the hand.
Yeah, exactly. It will.
Can I just, why not the 100 meters?
Yeah.
Mitch, why have you gone tennis? And
no, not just tennis, said, Wimbledon.
You said Formula One.
All right, I'll be more specific. Barcelona Grand Prix.
If you said Monza, I was ending this. How did we get onto Wimbledon robot? VAR.
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 Oh, VAR anyway, and added time.
Added time. Let's talk about added time. Because I think this World Cup is going to have the longest games in history, isn't it?
We need a robot ref
to fucking clamp down on this added time.
Can you program your robot tennis player to start stepping in as ref? Because that would be really helpful. We'll ship him out to Doha. Job done.
Do you think this is a glimpse into what football could be like? Like all those people who go, well, look, oh, that he was offside. If it's slight, or they, oh, well, that technically was a foul. Blah, blah, blah. Well, if you technically want to have a time added on for every time the ball's out of play, welcome to your World Cup.
Yeah.
But it's too much. You don't need...
Too long.
No one needs 10 minutes, especially in this country at this time of year where it's, you know, there's... Matty Cash played football today. Matty Cash has never experienced weather like this before. True. You can't expect Matty Cash to go from Birmingham to this and it not have some sort of impact on him. And also, you're telling him that it's Christmas. It's too much for Matty Cash.
He's going to go into
Think of Matty Cash.
Imagine at the end of the game and they went, right, 10 minutes. And he went, you what? 10 minutes.
Well, already up until this point. So at the moment, what game is currently on? I mean, the last game of the evening on Tuesday, 90 minutes added time has been played. A whole extra game. Now, we all love football, but I didn't sign up to watch 90 extra minutes of added time.
No. Also, I swear to God, if the Wales-England game is actually, if it means something, and if it gets to 90 and it's still close and they go 10 minutes, I may have to just quit the sport.
Get the robot ref on.
If they say Wales are winning, that's a ridiculous statement because that's not going to happen. But imagine if they did. And then they go 10 minutes and I'm like, oh my God. Like I think I'd rather quit.
3 minutes feels like forever when you're out trying to hang on to a lead, doesn't it? It's going to be...
How many minutes? I mean, the Saudi Arabia Argentina game, I think there was like 8 minutes added on or something.
England game 24 in total. 20,
and it was like, honestly, that game in Australia started on fucking Monday and finished on Wednesday.
Jack Grealish, I love Jack Grealish, but you cannot say to Jack Grealish, right, you've got to play an extra 24 minutes. He'd be like, what? What do you mean?
He'd be like, I've got great calves. My calves weren't made for this.
Jack Grealish was once shown a map of the UK and didn't know what it was.
Who's explained to Jack Grealish where Qatar is?
Imagine just explaining Jack
Grealish. He thinks he's just like, in the northeast.
I imagine trying to explain to Jack Grealish what a parsnip is difficult. 24 minutes.
He's gonna have a torrid time when the robot ref comes on. He's not gonna know what.
I know.
No, he's gonna shit himself.
Right. Should we wrap up and just talk about Ronaldo briefly? And finally, the news is broken that he's gone. Mutual consent, I guess.
I didn't know Ronaldo knew what the word consent meant. It's at the end of the podcast. No one's listening.
Yeah. Very good. No, I like it. Yeah, I think it was inevitable, wasn't it, after the interview? Like, he couldn't play for United again, and the sooner it happened for all parties, I think, wasn't it, the better.
Yeah.
What's your overriding feeling, Luke? You know, this guy, his legacy is definitely tarnished. Because some people go, nothing will change what he's done for the club. But it's a bit of it's quite a way to sort of torch what you've done for a club. And
the problem,
watch it all burn.
Okay, I mean, it's very difficult to sum it up. But Ronaldo was never going to be Ronaldo was never going to be known as one of Manchester United's greats anyway. Ronaldo was going to be known as a player who played for Man United and was a great player, but was not at his best. Being at United turned Ronaldo into Ronaldo. He had a great season, won the Ballon d'Or. He had a second very good season by anyone's standards, but not quite as good as the one before. Then he left for Real Madrid. So it doesn't really bother me. He's not George Best, you know. Yeah. He's not Bobby Charlton. There's never going to be a statue made of him. And there never was anyway. If he hadn't have come back at all, we still wouldn't have. He's a great player. He had to go. He talked utter shit in that interview.
He did, didn't he? Would you have him at Spurs, Cassie? Would you
have him at Spurs? No.
No, okay.
Yeah. I got no time for players with attitudes like that. I don't care how good he is. No one wants to deal with that now.
No, Boston.
He could be playing for that Saudi team now with those nine.
Come on, Al Hilal. Get on the phone to Ronaldo's agent.
Yeah. Oh, Al Hilal. The problem that I have with the biggest issue I have with him is when he said, the one point people said, oh, he made sense here. He's not the sort of player that should come on with 3 minutes to go.
No.
But he was happy coming on with 4 minutes to go against Liverpool. What's the difference?
Where's your cut off?
Where's your cut? That's his cut off.
Three minutes, 21 seconds. That's your cut.
Yeah. That's the line. Eric, I don't want to be that guy, but the watch never lies.
All right. Good stuff. We'll wrap it up there. We could talk for ages about Ronaldo, but we won't. Thanks for the memories, mate. It's lovely to have your company, folks. It's been good. Lovely. Back in the fold after a few weeks away from myself. Enjoy your World Cup. Yeah, cheers. Enjoy everyone, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye, guys.
A touchline, right? This is a touchline, right? A touchline. Oh, touchline.